Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the KP Podcast. I've got Pete here. I'm riding solo today, guys, so no Keith. And by the time you guys are hearing this, there's probably a pretty good chance we're going to have baby Keith here. So we will, we're anticipating here any day now. So that's why you've got just me today. But we'll see how it goes with just one solo, hopefully pretty good. But I think I've got a pretty interesting topic today that's been coming up a lot lately. Something we've been looking into, not looking into, but actually diving into and dealing with here for the last, probably 2 years or so. And that is crypto in real estate. And guys, there's so much talk and hype out there right now around crypto and everything that's going on. And today I want to specifically just dive into the portion about crypto and how it relates to real estate, how that is going to affect our industry going forward, what we're looking at, what's happening right now, because this isn't the future. This is now. Like, this is already happening. And I'll give you guys some examples of what's happening in the crypto world with real estate as we go through this. But again, I mean, I could talk about this all day long. And so what we're going to do today is kind of the overview of, you know, what is it? What does it mean for real estate? How does it work? How do some of these things work? And what's happening today? And what are we looking at in the future? And, you know, depending on how it goes, we can always kind of dive into some specific topics in the future. But today, let's go over some of this overview and what we're looking at and how it is affecting our real estate world. So I want to start off by talking about blockchain versus crypto. What's the difference? And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page before we get going into this. Okay. So everybody out there, I'm sure, has heard of Bitcoin, which is the oldest cryptocurrency. I believe it's the oldest cryptocurrency, which is 13 years old. And so this is still, you know, relatively new, 13 years old on the blockchain. And that was when this whole thing started, when Bitcoin was created and the blockchain was created. So about 13 years ago. Now, the thing I want to point out here, the important part, is that the blockchain that you might hear and crypto are two different things. Yes, they're tied together, but it is not the same thing. So the blockchain, all that the blockchain is, when you hear people talk about the blockchain, all it is a ledger, if you will. So think about, if we want to break it down kind of into a visual, think about a notebook, pieces of paper in it, okay? And you write down on that notebook on a page and it says, Bobby has, you know, 5 Bitcoin and Susie's got 5 Bitcoin and Johnny's got 10 Bitcoin. And then, you know, we move down the page and it says, and Johnny gave Susie 3 Bitcoin. So now Susie's got, you know, 8 Bitcoin and Johnny's got 7 and Bobby's still got 5. So we're recording all of those transactions as the Bitcoin's moving around on that page, which is a block, if you will, on the blockchain. So that's all that the blockchain is. It's this ledger recording these transactions. Who's sending Bitcoin to who? Who has what Bitcoin? And the point with the blockchain is that that's publicly open to everyone in the entire world. Anyone could go on and see the ledger all the way back in time to when this started 13 years ago to today, see every single transaction that's ever happened at any point. And so when you hear about mining, if you will, Bitcoin mining on that blockchain, what they're doing is you've got that one page, you know, going back to our example, you've got that one page in the notebook. Well, now we're going to flip the page and go to the next page in the notebook, and we're going to do another page or another block. Well, what's happening with the mining is that there are thousands and thousands of miners, thousands and thousands of computers all around the world, and they're verifying that what was on the first page was the correct information. And now what we're moving to on the next page or the next block, if you will, that this is now the real one. This is the correct information. And so that happens by consensus. We won't go into the details of how it works, but just imagine thousands of computers all checking these code and all checking these transactions to go, yes, this is correct. These are the right ones. When there's that consensus there, you've got a second block And if you look at it, page one and page two, so we're saying one's a block, this is a second block, we link them together in a chain, that's your blockchain. So that's all that is. There's a blockchain of these transactions open to everyone that is there for everyone to see so that there's no funny business and can always be verified by anyone at any time all the way back in time since we began. Crypto, the difference there is crypto is the actual Bitcoin. So that's what is being moved on the blockchain, if you will. So the transactions that we're actually recording on the blockchain, so the Bitcoin that, you know, Bobby and Susie and Johnny had, that's the crypto. So what we're saying on the blockchain is, hey, this cryptocurrency moved from this person to that person. And so crypto and blockchain, sometimes people are using them interchangeably, but they're two different things, if you will, that work together. And so the reason that that's important, as we'll get into later, is you can do other things on the blockchain. You can record other things. Because remember, the blockchain is just this ledger. Crypto is the coins, if you will, the cryptocurrency that sits on there. So hopefully that kind of gets us to a place, you know, where we can kind of go into some of these other things. Like I said, don't want to get lost in all this stuff. So we just want to kind of go through a lot of how to go to real estate. So let's get into that. How does this relate to real estate? That's all nice. You know, if you want to buy some Bitcoin and we talk about the blockchain, great. But what does that have to do with real estate? So there's a couple things right now, and I think these are the most important things, and who knows what's going to come in the future. But let's look at what you can do with real estate and what's happening right now as we'll go into some of these examples with it. So just as I explained on the blockchain, you've got these Bitcoin transactions, and I'm just using Bitcoin as the example because I think everybody's familiar with Bitcoin. But you've got these Bitcoin transactions being recorded on the blockchain. Well, you can also record real estate transactions on there. So think about that again now, where we've got title companies going back to do title searches. What's the history of this property? Who sold? Is there any liens on it? All of that stuff can be and is starting to be in some instances, and we'll go into one example later, starting to be recorded on the blockchain so that anyone could go in there at any point and see all the transactions for a property, what liens are on there, everything that's ever happened, and it's all publicly recorded for everyone to verify all across the world at any time. So that is the first thing, is we can record real estate transactions on the blockchain. Second thing that a lot of people probably heard but may not be super familiar with are smart contracts. So what is a smart contract? How does that relate to real estate? Now, when we're in real estate and we think about contracts, we think about purchase agreements, you know, the typical contracts that we're writing to buy a house. That's not what a smart contract is. A smart contract is basically, it's code or an algorithm, if you will. It's if then, you know, if this happens, then this will happen, and it happens automatically. So the way smart contracts would work for real estate, and we'll, again, I'll get into an example of this later, is once we're recording real estate transactions on the blockchain, we can use smart contracts to go, okay, you know, I want to buy 123 Main Street. 123 Main Street's recorded on the blockchain. We then put in a smart contract that says, okay, if, you know, buyer A transfers $500,000 to seller B's wallet on that blockchain, then that property ownership is going to automatically transfer. So it's the if then, and it happens automatically so that you can buy and sell anywhere around the world with anybody without having to worry about, you know, counterparty risk. Is this person going to perform? Is, you know, this company that I'm dealing with in Indonesia someone that I can trust? Are any of these things happening? Once it all is moved to that blockchain and we put a smart contract in place, it all happens, like we said, publicly recorded on that blockchain, and no one can stop it. So once that happens, you have those if-then statements. So immediately, if someone transfers funds, the property will transfer all of a sudden or immediately to the other person, and we don't have to worry about, is the other person going to do this? Is the other person going to back out of that? Is the other person going to scam me somehow? It'll all be transparent and all happen automatically through smart contracts. Another one is tokenization. This is something that, you know, you may have heard of, maybe not, But this is going to be, I think, important and already starting to see it with investment properties especially. So what does that mean when we say tokenization? It means you can break a property down into pieces. You can break ownership of these properties down into pieces or tokens, which is where tokenization comes from. So think about right now we've got the traditional syndications, if you will, and to kind of just do the overview for that, if people aren't familiar with that, here's a basic example. You've got, say, somebody that goes out there and finds a deal for an office building that's going to cost, $10 million. And that person says, this looks like a great deal. I want to buy this. I don't have $10 million, but let me go find, nine other people. And we're each going to put in $1 million. And together as a syndication, we'll have $10 million between us. And now the 10 of us will buy this office building. That's a very simple version of a syndication, if you will. Well, what you could do with tokenization is someone who owns that property or wants to go buy that property can break that ownership into 10 different pieces, 100 different pieces, 1 million pieces, 10 million pieces, whatever they want. And each person out there, anybody all around the world, just like we talk about with the smart contracts and recording them on the blockchain, they can buy that token. They can buy that piece. So now this person can go out there and say, okay, I'd like this building at $10 million. Or, an easier example for someone to understand is, let's say they own this building and they're trying to sell it at $10 million. Well, they could go out there and tokenize it and say, okay, now this building is, I've broken into a million tokens on the blockchain and I'm going to sell those off at, whatever the price is, $10,000 a piece, $100,000 a piece to anyone that wants it anywhere in the world. And if somebody wants it, they can instantly go on, buy that token. Ownership of that token will instantly be transferred to them. They've got full ownership of that. No one can take it away from them. It's all recorded and public. And they can sell this now. It opens up the entire world to be able to buy into this property. So it's not just, I've got to go find investors. We've got to put the money together. They can instantly send this out to everyone all over the world, and anyone that wants to buy that token can buy it. Now, thing to point out with these is it's not that these would still be, because you're breaking it up and offering it to anybody out there, even though it's in the blockchain and the crypto world, if you will, still considered a security. So still think about it kind of like, they're regulated the same way a stock would be. The SEC would, at this point, and this is ever changing, still have, the regulation over these, if you will, because you're technically offering an investment to everybody in the world. And so that case, they're still considered a security, still regulated by the SEC. But guys, this is an ever-evolving world where there's a lot of exciting stuff going. And, these are some of the examples of what is already happening and what's coming in the real estate world. And the thing like we like to say is, this is here. It's happening now. It's not going anywhere. This is just going to become more and more and more, because the technology underneath this stuff, the smart contracts, the blockchain, the NFTs that we'll get into, that stuff's here to stay. And so you've got to learn what some of this stuff is, because you're going to have more and more clients, especially as the world starts going this way, who are interested in this stuff. And this is more and more what's going to be coming in the real estate world. So we're going to have, how does this affect title and escrow? Basically, I think it's going to completely change title and escrow. I think you're going to see, and you already are starting to see, a couple of title companies out there and new ventures that are starting to create title and escrow companies specifically focused around crypto, blockchain, and NFTs, and how to transact on those. And I think at some point we'll have a large number, if not all, title companies. I'm sure not all of them are going to go this way, but we'll probably have the vast majority that are going to have these capabilities and able to transact real estate in that way. So it's going to completely change that title and escrow world. So right now, using some of these, what are some examples and what are some people doing right now? So right now you can buy, and people are buying, properties with crypto. Let's say, go back to that Bitcoin example. People are buying houses with Bitcoin right now. Now, that can happen one of two ways, okay? Typically what's happening in the most popular, prevalent way, if you will, that's happening right now is somebody's got Bitcoin. So let's use an example of, got a house, $500,000 house, somebody's got $500,000 worth of Bitcoin, and they want to use their Bitcoin to buy a house. So what they can do is transfer that Bitcoin to, you know, a title company or something that is accepting that Bitcoin. That Bitcoin immediately gets transferred into dollars. Seller gets paid out in dollars. So that's one way where you're going crypto to dollars, if you will. So the buyer is transferring over their crypto, but it's immediately being switched over to dollars. The other way, and what we'll probably see more and more of in the future, is a true crypto purchase where somebody is sending crypto to crypto for the property. So there's no dollars actually involved. So again, using the same property, you've got this property that is, you know, listed for $500,000, which is the equivalent to, you know, I don't know where we're at Bitcoin today, but let's just say it's, you know, 10 Bitcoins. So that person then transfers 10 Bitcoins over to the seller. The seller receives not dollars, but 10 Bitcoins. And so it's crypto to crypto. They've now transacted in Bitcoin using our example, and that transfer of that ownership of that property happens without any dollars involved. They transfer crypto on one side from the buyer to crypto on the other side to the seller, and the transaction is completed. So again, that's much more rare today because we don't, you know, you've got to find a buyer who wants to pay with crypto and a seller who wants to accept crypto. So we're still at the early stages of that, but it's happening and there's going to be more of that. Now, the one thing I will talk about here is, again, as this is so new, we're still seeing, you know, our government at this point trying to put rules in place for how is this stuff going to work? How are they going to regulate it? What are the tax implications? That's the big one. So at this point, you know, as we sit here, as of this recording today, it's still anytime you transact in crypto, it is looked as a property sale, which is a taxable event. So anytime you're, you know, in our case, if they're paying with their Bitcoin and they're changing that to dollars, that could be or is today a taxable event, just the change of that currency. So again, that's ever evolving. And right now, you know, U.S. government and Congress is looking at what are the rules around that? How does that look going forward? So it's ever evolving, but that's where we sit right now. So other thing I want to talk about, and this is going to have a really cool example in here, guys, of something that just happened just over a month ago here in February. So NFTs, okay. What is an NFT and what does that have to do with real estate? So people hear the term NFT, and I'm sure most of you out there are, you know, you think of the artwork, you think of like, you know, people putting the, you know, CryptoPunks or the Bored Ape NFTs on their profile pictures on social media, you know, and you hear about it that way. So what an NFT is it's a file, for lack of a better term, that's on the blockchain that shows that you've got ownership of that thing, whatever that is. And if we want to talk about the artwork that everybody's probably familiar with when they think about NFTs, what is happening is you actually, yes, you have that piece of artwork that they're putting in their profile picture, but the actual NFT is the file that is attached to that that shows that you have the ownership of that original artwork. Okay, so that can be thought of, that file can show that you have ownership of anything. It doesn't have to be those, you know, artwork that everybody's familiar with. We're also seeing NFTs for music where people are doing it with songs. You're also seeing NFTs and this is becoming very prevalent. I think we'll see this a ton in the future, tickets to events. So let's say it's a concert or a sporting event. I know professional sports teams now are partnering with cryptocurrencies and crypto companies to start making NFTs of their tickets. So what does that mean? This file shows that you have ownership of a ticket, but attached to that might be other benefits. If you own that NFT for that ticket, you might get special access to the team. You might get, you know, backstage at a show. You might get some other special spiff that they send out to whoever owns those. So it's showing ownership of something, and that ownership could be anything. And so that's where it comes back to real estate. And I guess just to pause for a second, should probably talk about what NFT stands for. So that means non-fungible token. That's all it stands for. So what that means is can't be changed. It's a file that no one could go in and modify or change afterwards. It shows that you've got, you know, unobstructed and immutable ownership of that thing. So what we're seeing in real estate, and we just saw the very first transaction of a single family residence. It was in Florida, happened last month in February, where it was the property was sold as an NFT. So think about what that means, okay? They sold this property on the blockchain. Ownership was transferred instantly from one person to the next, and I'll break down kind of how this worked as an NFT, because remember, all the NFT is the file behind this showing that you've got ownership of whatever that thing could be, artwork, music, tickets, a house. And so that's what the NFT was. So let's go through that example of what happened with this house in Florida, which was pretty cool. So what they did was they transferred the actual ownership of the house. And before I go through this example, mortgages at this point weren't involved. This was a cash transaction or a crypto transaction from a buyer to a seller. They're looking at mortgages. I know that will be there, but for our transaction, this is a cash transaction, if you will. So no mortgage involved. So what they did was, in this instance, they took the property. They moved the ownership of the property onto the blockchain. And what I mean by that, and the way that they did that, is they put the property into an LLC and moved the ownership of that LLC onto the blockchain and created an NFT. So now the ownership of that LLC that owns the property, the ownership of that was put into that file, into that code, onto the NFT, and it was recorded on the blockchain. So now they have the ability to transfer ownership of that LLC to anyone in the world instantly through a smart contract, and that would instantly transfer ownership of that house. Now, in this case, because it was the first one, they already did all of the background work, if you will. So inspection was done. They went through the title report, and all of that was recorded. All of that information, all those findings were recorded on the blockchain as part of that NFT. So anyone going on there can see all the history. They can see everything that was done with the house. They can see the virtual tour of the house, and they can see what they were looking at before bidding on the property. So house was transferred onto the blockchain through an LLC. And then they set up an auction, an online auction, so that anyone in the world could come look at the virtual tour, look at, you know, the history of this house, and bid on it. And this was done through a smart contract on the Ethereum network. And the Ethereum network is just, you know, where you've got Bitcoin as one cryptocurrency. Ethereum is another cryptocurrency, the second biggest next to Bitcoin. And the reason that they use the Ethereum network is because the Ethereum network is what allows for smart contracts. So that is the network where NFTs and smart contracts reside, if you will. That's where we can transact in them. So they put the smart contract in, they put it up for auction. They had a minimum bid, 600,000, I think was the minimum bid, something like that. And so anyone that wanted to bid for this NFT, this transfer of ownership, would go on there. They would have to verify their identities before the auction started. They would have to show that they actually had $600,000 worth of Ethereum in order to register for this. And then the bidding started. There was only a couple of bidders, two or three, I think. And I think the house ended up selling for about $650,000. And so once the auction was over, immediately, because of that smart contract, the $650,000 worth of Ethereum was transferred from the buyer's wallet to the seller's wallet, and that NFT file that held the ownership of the house was immediately transferred back to the buyer's wallet. And you've heard me say wallet a couple of times. All the wallet is where you hold your currency and your NFTs and anything else that you've got on this blockchain. So it's just kind of like your address, your files, your, you know, if we want to go old school, like your hard drive, if you will, it's where you're holding your files and your currency. So it's transferred over to their wallet on the blockchain and the ownership of the house transferred. So that was pretty cool. And like I said, that was the first single family house. But we're seeing examples, like I said, and this is going to be happening more and more. The one thing I want to end on, like I said, we talk about this all day, guys, but I want to just touch on, like we said, just kind of these overviews of this. And the last thing I want to talk about is the future stuff that's not happening yet, but is definitely coming. And that is the metaverse. You guys heard the term metaverse. We even saw, you know, Facebook change their name to metaverse. And just so everyone understands, metaverse is kind of the term. So it's kind of like if you want to look back at, like, you know, copiers or printers, and sometimes people will say Xerox, you know, where it's kind of ubiquitous. And so that's actually what Facebook did, is actually changed their name to be what the, you know, the universal term for that is. And so they're kind of trying to, you know, lock that name in for themselves. But that's, that metaverse is not just referring to what Facebook is doing or that company. That is referring to the general term of that entire field, if you will. And so this is where, you know, the metaverse and everything we've been discussing is where you might hear people talk about Web 3.0. We won't get into that today. That could be, if people are interested in, that could be a whole other show. But basically what the metaverse is, and, you know, where people can relate to, is it's these virtual worlds. And so the worlds that are created, you know, and the metaverse can be created on the blockchain, say on the Ethereum network, in virtual space, where people have, again, using everything we've talked about, NFTs and blockchain and crypto, they can have, you know, unique characters on there. There's unique land. You know, you guys have heard about virtual land that people have talked about on there, virtual real estate, if you will, that can't be duplicated, that, you know, from one, you know, once one metaverse is, one world, if you will, is created, you know, it's got a certain amount of land on there that, for, you know, depending on how it's set up, can't ever be changed, can't make more of it. It is what it is. It can be traded between people. The avatars, you know, can go out and buy clothes on there and do whatever other weird things they're doing, anything. And all that stuff is unique on there and can be traded, bought and sold. Prices can be set. At this point, guys, trust me, I know, because when I first started hearing about it, I go, this sounds crazy and this sounds weird. And frankly, I was like, there's no way any of this would work. But as you start looking into what is actually happening with these virtual worlds and how that'll interact with the real world, what I can tell you is that stuff, again, is the early stages are here. And that's why Facebook's trying to get ahead of that, because they can see, and Mark Zuckerberg can see, that's where things are heading. And so there will be this virtual landscape that is not just going to be what people think about, where they think about, you know, the old days of people going on and playing virtual games in this virtual world. There's, you know, people that are already doing, you go back to our music example, they're having concerts in the metaverse. And so you've got, you know, an actual real band that's putting on a show, and people can go in the metaverse, sit down virtually, you know, next to other, you know, friends from across the country and interact with them. And they can all watch this show that's happening live with live people actually playing the music somewhere, but they're all coming together in this virtual world where this is happening. And they can sell tickets to that show in the virtual world that can be bought and sold as well. And things can happen in there. And real estate will be bought and sold in these worlds, because again, it's going to be a limited resource of people in this world doing things. And so sounds crazy right now. Sounds like a lot to wrap your head around. And so again, we won't go deep into that right now, but know that will kind of flow between the real world and the metaverse. So things will be connected. Things will interact. Things will transfer from one to the other, where you've got ownership here, which ties to something in the metaverse. Things like that are coming in the future. As crazy as some of this stuff sounds, guys, this is where we're heading. And so hopefully today, like I said, guys, this is stuff we could deep dive on, basically any of these, metaverse, NFTs, smart contracts. We can go into whole episodes on any of this stuff. Let me know if this is something you guys are interested in. We could put more out there. You know, I know we're going to have some training coming up in the future on this stuff as well. So if this is something that you guys want to learn more about and you're interested in, let us know. Reach out to us. questions@kpleaz.com is the best way to reach out to us, guys. Let us know what you think. And then thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe, kppodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, on all of our channels. And again, let us know what you think. Hopefully you guys got something out of this, and we'll see you guys next time.